quickly, we don't stop and think about the Lord is involved in this. This isn't just something that happened. Joshua just didn't wake up one morning and said, I'm going to go over to the land of Canaan, and I'm going to take on all these people, and I'm going to beat them up. No, it was the Lord who told them to do this, and it was the Lord who was going to lead them to do this. And, you know, as we look at this and see that God is in this, it just reminds us again how much God wants to be in our life, in the details of our lives. And we see that many times it's mentioned. I'm going to begin reading in verse 28 and read down to verse 43. We may just end it there tonight after share just a little bit, because I don't think we have time to go all the way through chapter 12 tonight. But we're going to see that it is God who's doing the work here. And so in verse 28 it says, that day Joshua took Makeda and smote it with the edge of the sword. And the king thereof, he utterly destroyed them and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain, and he did to the king of Makeda as he did unto the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Makeda and all Israel with him unto Libna and fought against Libna. In verse 30 it says, and the Lord delivered it also. Again, there's that point that God is doing the work. Now, they have to do their part, and that is to follow God. It says, and the king thereof into the hand of Israel, and he smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, and he let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did unto the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Libna, and all Israel with him, unto Lachish, and encamped against it, and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day, and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done to Libna. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people until he had left him none remaining. And from Lachish Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword, and all the souls that were there, and he utterly destroyed that day according to all that he done to Lachish. And Joshua went up from Eglon, and all Israel with him, unto Hebron, and they fought against it. And they took it and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining according to all that he had done to Eglon, but destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Debir, and fought against it. And he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. And he left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so did he to Debir, and to the king thereof, as he had done also to Libna, and to her king. So Joshua smote all the country of the hills, and of the south, and of the vale, and of the springs, and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even unto Gibeon. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, encamped to Gilgal. So the thing, again, as we're reminded, is that it is doing God's business that's important. And God has given every one of us a call. Now, as a Christian, there's the general call and there's a specific call. He doesn't always show us what's going to be down the future 10 years or 20 years. He doesn't expect us to see that far in the future. What he expects us to do is take today, tomorrow, and the next day, and walk in those according to His will, in the direction that He's given to us. And a lot of people struggle with what knowing the will of God is for them and what to do, especially folks maybe that aren't called in full-time ministry. Think, well, what's my calling? Well, God doesn't call everybody to leave their communities. If He did, nobody would be in their communities. All the Christians would be in one place somewhere, probably all over in Africa or something. I don't know. We just all move everywhere else. But so if He puts you in a position that's a position that you can serve with honor and does not cause a rebuke in the Lord's name, or, you know, to have to live a certain way to that would bring shame to God, then, and He doesn't tell you to do anything else, that's what you're to do. You know, I heard a statement one time years ago, said, someone said, if you can do anything else, be in the ministry, do it. Do it. In other words, if your heart could be anywhere else, then go do that. And that's kind of what Joshua is doing here in this sense, is he has been called to be in the ministry. And we know that because in chapter 1, it tells us right off that he was a minister to Moses. And through that ministry, God used him and called him to be in this specific ministry. Joshua's calling is one purpose, and that is to obviously follow God, but to go and conquer the land. That's what God wants him to do. That's his job. Just as God's called us to do our specific job, he wants us to do it in the realm of following him and trusting him. Understanding that the Lord is going to deliver us and the Lord is going to guide us. The Lord wants to speak with us. In chapter 11, verse 6, the southern kingdom is chapter 10 and the northern kingdom is chapter 11. But in verse 6 it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua. Again, Joshua's listening to God. And so all along the way, God is leading him. God is talking to Joshua. Joshua is talking to God. And God reminds him over and over in the book of Joshua during this battle. He tells him to be not afraid. You know, that's one of the hardest things for some of us sometimes, is to be afraid of something that comes into our lives. And he tells him over and over, he says, be not afraid, but be of good courage. Because he knows that that's the thing that's going to stop Joshua. That would be the thing that stops us, is when we get afraid. Because when we get afraid, we no longer trust. And when we're no longer trusting God, we're not really following him. Now, I understand he's not saying there aren't times in your lives when you're going to come to a point where you're going to feel like you're afraid of something. But he wants you to practice Christianity in such a manner that when that time comes, that you know right where to look. And that's to the Lord. And you can trust him just like that. And that's what it takes time to develop. Just like a child takes time for a child to develop trust in another person. But the way you treat him. And eventually he'll catch on. He'll think, well, you know, I can trust you. You are trustworthy. And so they'll be more open to you. Well, that's what God wants with us, our relationship. He wants us to be open with him. That's why it's important that we pray and we talk to God regularly. That's what Joshua is doing. He's talking to God on a regular basis. And the Lord's speaking to him on a regular basis. And they're encouraging, the Lord's encouraging Joshua. And Joshua is encouraged by doing exactly what God has told him to do. Where verse 40 says, so Joshua smote all the country of the hills of the south and of the vale and the springs and all their kings. He left none remaining. I remember a time when there was a king, the first king, that was given a very similar task in a small way, not nearly as big as this one. It was with the Amalekites. And he was told by God through Samuel to kill every single animal, every single person, and to leave none alive. And he came back with the sheep and with the king. And when he came back, he told Samuel, I've done all that God has told me to do. The problem was, he really didn't understand what God meant. You see, when God says something, He means what He says. And that's important for us to understand as we study the Word of God for our lives, is that we come across the Scripture and God speaks to us. He wants us to understand this principle, or He wants us to understand what His Word is trying to teach us. Why? Because He has something better for us. And that's exactly what's taking place here in Joshua's life. We didn't see that in Saul's life. In fact, I don't believe Saul was ever a man that was close to God. Now, the Spirit came upon him, but it also left him as well. But because of his disobedience, the kingdom was rent from him. And we see Joshua here. He's taken some steps, and not really all his fault, but it is in the sense that he didn't seek God when he went to Ai that first time. But he didn't realize someone had sinned in the camp, which I believe God would have revealed that to him. But since then, we see that time and time again, Joshua has learned his lesson. I'm going to go check it out with God first. Is this what you want me to do? And when he does, God tells him exactly what to do. So it's not Joshua's battle plan. Why? Who's fighting the battles? God. So our lives are whose battle plan? They're God's. And so if we go to Him, He'll reveal to us what we need to do to accomplish that which He's called us to do. And everybody in this room is called to do something for the Lord. Every one of us. And God will give us what we need to accomplish what He wants us to do. And we just have to trust Him for that. And so I see this time and time again. That is, Joshua in this case, and the children of Israel, are surrendered to God, that He blesses them. He makes it easy for them. Very seldom do you hear anybody dying in any of these battles. You don't hear that. You know why? Because I don't think a lot of the Israelites lost their lives during these battles, because God was fighting them for them. And so again, that's something that we need to be aware of. And part of that, as we think about the battle of life, is once you become a Christian, you can't lose that. God's fought that battle for you by sending Jesus to die on the cross. And so the rest of our life, He's given us to go out and carry the sword, the Word of God, if you will, and to share with others how that can it can help them. And it's just one of those things that you just can't forget. In Psalm 25:5, the psalmist writes, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." And that's the lesson that I believe Joshua's learning, and that's the lesson that we ought to learn or try to learn. Now, it's going to take a lifetime, and we'll probably never get it right. You know, we'll get a little bit older up in years, and we'll revert back, or something will come along, and we'll get a little discouraged, and we'll forget, what am I supposed to do here? Trust God and let Him fight the battle. You know, you can think a lot of things in your mind and struggle a lot of ways. But if you just give it over to God, He can take care of that for us. You know, a lot of people worry about things that never come to pass and never have any way of coming to pass. And yet they will worry themselves to death over it. And God all along knows that it's going to be taken care of. The most important thing we can do is let God fight our battles. He said in verse 30, "And the Lord delivered it also." In verse 32, "And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel." And that's amazing to me, because the Lord did it. And the Lord wants to do it in our lives as well. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for the Word of God. And we thank You for the examples that You give to us. The examples of Saul. The examples of a Joshua. We see men who have obeyed and disobeyed. We've seen what happens. And Father, You've given us a great example in Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that as we follow him, that we will never take a misstep. It's only when we take our eyes off the Lord that we will find ourselves in a gully or off a different path. And I pray that you would help each one of us stay focused on these things. And as we look forward to the day that one day we see you face to face. Again, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word. And I pray you continue to use it to strengthen us as we continue to read it and study it and grow in it. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.